This is the Next Bite of Life podcast, the place to be to hear personal stories from expats, digital nomads, and everybody else taking their next bite of life. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Next Bite of Life podcast. My name is Ken Kep. My guest today is Christian Reeve. Christian is a content creator. He's a YouTuber. He's an actor, a poet, a musician. You can see by the guitar in the background there. So Christian, tell me, how are you today? Thank you for joining me, by the way.
Hello, I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, before we go on, before we start with any of your travels or anything like that, tell me, where are you now?
I'm currently living in Manchester in the United Kingdom. I'm originally from London. And I've been looking for work for the past year, doing some freelance marketing here and there, and basically investing all of my time into podcasting, YouTube, music, acting, as many endeavors as I can find, basically, and streaming as well. That's kind of a new thing I've been doing this year.
Yeah. So you would consider yourself a chameleon because, you know, since the pandemic happened, a whole lot of things happened, right? You were in Estonia prior?
That's correct, yes.
So how was life there? No, what made you decide to go to Estonia?
It was a combination of two things. Predominantly, it was work. When I graduated from my degree in management with marketing back in 2017, I was living in London. I was working like 60, 70 hours a week in this hotel for like peanuts. Wow. And I just couldn't find a job. And it was like, here's a fun story. So it got to a point where, because it's so expensive to live in London and to travel to London, I wasn't even living in London. I was living outside of London. But to commute in just to go for a job opportunity cost so much that sometimes I had to decide, do I go to the job offer, you know, the job interview, or do I eat for the next week?
Wow.
It was kind of like that. And I was dating a girl at the time, and we'd been together for a couple of years by that point, and she was from Estonia. And we kind of sat down and I was like, look, I don't know what to do, but I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not moving forward, essentially. And she kind of suggested Estonia, but it was kind of like this isn't like a concrete option. This is just like a temporary solution. And then maybe we come back to the UK. And in fairness, I agreed to that on principle, because I was like, well, it will get us away from this for a bit. And then we can kind of figure out, you know, phase two, so to speak, or step two, and then come back. And that was originally my plan. It was always to do that. And I kind of, you know, being young and like, you know, being into travel, I was like, well, you know, there's only pluses here. And to be honest, that was kind of how it began. Do you want me to continue through?
Yeah, no, please go on. I'm so enjoying that. Yeah, tell me all about it.
Right. So it took a while to find my first job. I was living with her family for some time, 4 months, 5 months to find a job. So it wasn't easy. But I did, and it was in marketing. So I was, you know, over the moon with that. Because it was my first marketing role outside of, you know, I'd had like some work experience style stuff beforehand, but never like a proper paid job in marketing. Yeah. So this was my first one. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't great. I was creating content for I worked for a digital marketing agency, but their primary client was like an online casino review website or something.
Okay.
So it was pretty soulless stuff, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of always look at like what I'm creating and look at it as like a totem pole of like, how morally just and how, you know, what does this give to the world? And I felt like pretty low about my morals at that point in time. I was like, well, hey, they're paying me something, I guess. You know, sometimes you gotta bite the bullet and take a hit. So I think I was doing that for about 3 months, and then they decided not to renew the contract, which I think they kind of did on purpose. I think it was like, hey, we can get some, because I wasn't getting paid like a full amount. I was getting paid like a trial amount, mm-hmm. but I was doing full-time hours, so it's kind of some shady.
Yeah, that's very common. I see in a lot of places. We used to live in Malta, and it was like that, you know.
At least I got paid, because a lot of those internships you don't get paid. So they get
sometimes
free
labor. They want you to pay them.
They do because they know that
you need the papers, you know. So they're like, in exchange for us giving you the papers, you pay us. And I'm just like, whoa. Yeah, exactly.
So depending on how long that is, though, and how long it costs to get the papers, that could work well. I suppose it depends on, because if they're asking you for, like, let's say the papers are worth, like, I don't know, 500 or something, right? And you do like a month's worth of work. That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
But then if it's like 3 months of work,
then it's like taking advantage. Yeah. So what did you do then after that job was over?
We went back to the UK briefly. We were in Scotland, in Edinburgh.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying to find, yeah, it's a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. Really, really nice. I was trying to sort of find something there, to be honest, just something temporary, because we just wanted to stay there, and it wasn't happening. So we went back to Estonia, and after that, actually, I think it was the same month, end of that month, I landed my first like proper corporate job in Estonia.
Okay.
And I remained with that company for a long time, actually. I joined in, let me see, June 2018. And I left in, I think it was like September or October of 2019.
Okay.
So I was there for a long time.
Yeah.
I got promotion during that time. So work-wise, things are going well.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why I decided to stay for so long as well. Because we had constant conversations about going back to the UK and whatnot. I just didn't feel like it was a good option for me at that point. I wanted to kind of come back once I'd had enough experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good for some time, yeah.
How was the cost of living? I mean, you went from London, which was really a high cost of living place, to Estonia, which I assume was a lot less. How was the cost of living there? What would you say, if you had to guess an amount for how much you were spending per month?
As far as like accommodation is very cheap, you know. I mean, I think you can get like a reasonable, let's say, 1 or 2 bedroom apartment for ranging between sort of like 350 euros on the lower end up to like, let's say, 600 on the higher end.
Nice. So really nice.
Right. But here's the thing, like, it depends where you are, the quality and condition of the actual property itself, stuff like that. Now, jobs aren't as high paying as they are in other countries. So that's where, you know, it can get tricky. If you're working in like a, say, customer service style role, you're earning nothing. Like probably like 400 euros a month, 300, like nothing. Office roles, I'd say they're a fraction or percentage lower than what they are like here in the UK. Probably like 2/3 of what they are. The highest paying jobs in Estonia are like specialist IT positions. So like if you're like a software developer, something like that, then you're earning quite a lot of money. But for the rest of the roles here, it's really not a lot. But I'd say that, you know, if you're kind of frugal with your money, it can work. I mean, it really does depend on what you look at it. Like, I would say food wise, your budget stretches a lot further in Estonia than it does in England. Like, I remember the first time I actually visited the country like 5 years ago or something, we bought like not a lot, like maybe 10, 20 euros worth of shopping, but it was like a lot. Like, yeah. Like, I looked at it and it was like, this is like a full month's shopping to me, you know. It's like crazy. But it varies. Do you know what I mean? After some time, I would say when you're living there in the winter, the costs are quite high for heating and stuff, because it's very cold there, and obviously you need a lot to heat your houses up and whatnot. It really does depend. I would say overall, let me put it this way, if you're looking to gain experience and, you know, see, you know, kind of have like a life experience, you know, see a beautiful scenic country, take part in a lot of unique sort of customs, then it's awesome. If you're looking to find work, depending on your fields, there are opportunities there. But it is a very small country. Very few people. Definitely not a place to go and make money. Let me put it that way.
So it sounds like it's one of those places where digital nomads, for instance, could go because they don't depend on the country to make a living. You have to have some sort of online income to go there and live as a regular person, unless you have a specialized, you know, thing like your software engineer or, you know, IT or somebody to do with Wi-Fi or whatever. Because I know they have fast internet there, right? Don't they? I think it's one of the countries with like super fast internet.
I believe it's one of the fastest in the world. Yeah.
So for somebody who works online, it'll be great. But if you're going there hoping to like live and save money and do all that, it's not going to happen. And of course, that's why the young people there leave to go to other places. Would you say, for instance, like $1,000 for one person a month would be more than enough?
I think it's doable, but it doesn't leave you with a lot as far as like, you can't really do anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think
survive. Like,
yeah, I mean, but it depends. I mean, 1,000 is a hell of a lot more than the average in the country.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it really depends on your situation.
Yeah.
Because I saw all ends of the spectrum when I was living there. So let me put it this way. I gained a newfound appreciation for the UK and like everything we get here. And just in general, like, it really kind of stunned me. Like, one of the things that stunned me was how the government over there really doesn't like care for its people. Like, you're kind of, let me put it this way. If you're in a situation where, like, you know, you can't find work, you're on your own. Like, that's your problem kind of thing. If you're sick, you know, if you can't work because of sickness, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Very, very kind of brutal in that sense. I really do think it depends how you manage your money. I would say, like, over there, if you're earning somewhere in the region of like 1500 a month, 1600 a month, this is doable. But then the thing is, taxes are very high there. The more you're earning, taxes, that's coming off your, so there's a lot of things you have to consider. Like, I really feel like it's, like I said before, it's not the sort of place to make money. But then again, I don't know, there are the businesses and the people that I met there, business people that were doing well. From what I understood, they'd made their money elsewhere.
And then they were kind of retired or semi-retired or something? Or
not necessarily. I mean, basing their operations out of Estonia is quite cheap.
Oh, like, I see.
As far as like doing international business, it's kind of, you know, preferable to some extent.
Oh, I see. Oh.
One of the things I should mention, actually, is in Estonia, it's very easy to set up a business or something like that, from what I understand. That's one of the alluring parts. Why, you know, like, there was something like you could set up, I think it was Estonian, what was it, like digital residency or something, something like that. So you don't even have to live in the country, but you can set that up, and then that enables you to sort of conduct business easier, something like that.
So it sounds like the Las Vegas of Europe. So everybody goes to Las Vegas to register their companies, and then, you know, they can operate easily around the. So it's
in a manner of speaking, I think in some fields, yes. But the main thing that was always pushed when I was living there was that, like, you know, as far as like tourism is concerned, and like how the country is promoted to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. There's a heavy focus on Tallinn being like the, you know, technological capital of the world and innovative. You know, you get like a lot of startup companies there and stuff. And that is all true. But the actual like reality of like living there is different. Like, I think it's like, you know, and I'm sure you can appreciate this as well. Like, any country you live in, there's always the side that's like promoted to you, and then there's the reality.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that Estonia is bad, because I wouldn't have lived there as long as I did.
Yeah.
You know, I love Estonia, but I what led when the reasons that I left were that it wasn't like possible for me to be there because of how things work there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think weather was a big one.
And so you went from London to worse, and then colder.
No, I mean, even right now, it's the coldest that it's been in Manchester, and it's still nowhere near as cold as it was in Estonia. But the coldness never bothered me. It was more the lack of sunlight in winter. Like, it gets very, it wears on you. You know, like, I gotta say, like, for Estonia, I think it's the best time to go there is during summer. Like, it's amazing during summer. Like, I can't explain to you how beautiful that country is. Like, there's so much to see there. There's so much, like, rich forests, lakes, just beautiful scenery, all sorts of things.
Nice.
But in winter, you know, it's equally beautiful, but it's like just like there was, I don't know, there was a point in my final job there. I was only there for like 3 or 4 months, but it was like, I swear to God, it was just dark all the time.
All the time. Which and wears like, on you, right?
It really did. Yeah. I started feeling like I was getting that, what was it they call it? Seasonal affective disorder or whatever it is. It really did start to wear on me. And I really did think about, like, because I missed the UK anyway, but I'll be honest, I was kind of scared to come back because I've just been very unsure. I've never, like, had a great deal of luck here.
Yeah.
And I was always kind of apprehensive to come back. And that's why it makes me laugh, because I came back, you know, with 3 years experience in marketing and a degree, and I'm still getting these... the same sort of messages I got when I finished my degree, which is, you don't have enough experience. It's
of
like, well,
course, right?
If a degree and 3 years experience isn't enough, I don't know what else I can
I
do.
Know. And you picked the right time to come back, right? So when did you get back? You got back to London like this year, earlier this year, right?
Yeah, February. Like, I'd intended to come back anyway. Okay. I sort of felt like 2020 was, you know, I've been there 3 years. Nothing really was, like, changing. Because when I got that first kind of promotion, I was like, oh, wow, like, things are kind of working for me. Like, I should stick here. I should make the most of this and sort of see it through. And by the end of my time there, I'd worked for, like, 3 or 4 different companies. I'd done a lot of stuff. I'd learned a lot of stuff. So I felt like it was a good time to kind of move back, but I didn't really have like a plan, which is kind of a common theme in my life. It's like, I have an overall idea of what I want to do, but never like a concrete, like, okay, we'll do this and then this and then this.
Yeah.
I just knew that I should come back. And I came back in sort of like mid-February, tried to negotiate working with that final company on a remote basis, but they just weren't having it. And then I was like, okay, I'll just try and find work in England. Yeah. And saw my family briefly in London, and then moved up to here in Manchester in the north.
And then the pandemic happened. And then you became just like everybody else. It's like, okay, you could serve it out here because it's a jail sentence, really. You could serve it out here. You could have served it in Estonia. You know, it's just... How is
funny
that
story.
Now?
Funny story, right? So when I came up here originally, like I said, it was like final week of February, right? I booked myself a hostel in Manchester City Centre. I won't name it, but it was shoddy. Yeah, I bought it for cheap because I didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, I mean, it looked okay from the outside. You know, I'd been to, like I said, I'd been to Edinburgh and I'd stayed at a hostel there briefly. And that was really nice. So I kind of thought, oh, maybe it'll be like that. And then I walked in and, can I swear?
Maybe not. I'll bleep it out.
It was, it's fine. I won't swear then. It was grim. Depressing. Do you know what? I said this to a friend the other day. It looked like the sort of place where 10 years ago when they first opened, great. Now, no.
They haven't done anything in the 10 years, right? They hadn't touched anything in 10 years.
It's not even that. It's just like they've just let it deteriorate considerably. And, you know, I when I found out like where I could leave my luggage, I wasn't cool about that because, you know, anyone could get key card access to this place. So it wasn't secure. And then there wasn't like a lift. So I had to like drag stuff upstairs. And when I did get into my room, I was sharing with people. So it was like 4 bunk beds or something with total strangers. And I was so uncomfortable and I didn't sleep at all. And bear in mind, like I did this so that I could do 2 things at once, look for a place to live and find a job. I still can't believe I did this. But anyway, it got to like about a week and a half and I kept sort of renewing my stay there. And I was getting a bit depressed. I was getting a bit like, maybe this was a bad idea. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember there was one day where I saw a place, funnily enough, on the same road I'm living now.
Right? Yeah.
And it was raining really horribly. It was really cold. And I just cancelled my booking that I had with this place, because I had a viewing, because I'd kind of just lost hope in that moment. Yeah, I was looking around me, I was like, this is a horrible area, and which is funny because it isn't a horrible area, but at the time I felt like it was.
It felt like it.
And I just sort of, like I came back to the hotel that day, or the hostel, sorry, kind of defeated. I spoke to friends about it and they kind of reassured me, but I just felt really bad. And then I kind of got into contact with my current landlord, like a day after. And I realized, oh, the viewing's in the same street. And I'm like,
oh no.
I was like, oh, screw it. Do you know what? Let's just try. Give it the college try. So I came and I loved the place and I liked the landlord and, you know, I moved in the same day and I was like, oh my God,
this
is great. Yeah. I can finally get out of the hostel. And to give you a bit more context, right?
Yeah.
Not only was it bad that I had to share with people and it was like a depressing place to be, right? But the toilets, obviously being shared toilets, right? Often didn't have any toilet roll.
Oh,
that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, right? They're grim and not really taken well care of anyway. Uh-huh. And number three, no hot water in the showers.
No. In England, right? No, like, way.
This happens all the time. When I was growing up, like I grew up in poor housing and stuff, and like every winter the boiler would break. And I'm sure you've had like the same thing when you're growing up where you have to like boil the kettle.
Boil the water,
So it's like, you know, I'm kind of used to that, but I was like, can I do it in, because it's one thing like washing, you know, in a small basin or something, but like washing my entire body in a cold shower.
Yeah.
And I did it because I've done it before, like with gym training and stuff. Yeah. But the difference there is that you do the shock for like 5 minutes and then you turn the water on and it's hot, right? Like you did both. Whereas this was just cold shock for 20 minutes. I was like, oh, I gotta stop doing this. This is awful. And here's the funny thing. And this is why I don't name the hostel, because they were really good to me. I came down and a little birdie told me that people were complaining and getting their money back. And I was like, do you know what? I've had a horrible stay. I want my money back. Let's try. And I just really politely went up to the desk and just said, hi there, excuse me. Unfortunately, I've sort of come here to complain. And then I listed all those things.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, absolutely, here's your refund. I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you know, we've had like 50 people complain today and like you're the only person that did it nicely and here's your money back. And I'm like,
oh nice. Yes. Yeah.
So basically I got a free stay, got the money back at a time when I desperately needed it.
That's great. So now here you are in a place that you love and everything is starting to look up. It's gonna take a while because, you know, the lockdown keeps coming. So you can't expect everything to like just work out for a lot of people. This year, well, the past year has just been a wash, and you have to like sort of, you know, rise like the phoenix and, you know, hopefully things will get better, right? So your website is called christianreeve.com, and so everybody listening to this, watching this, make sure to check it out because it's quite a cute, you know, I saw some of the shorts that you did, like some of the acting shorts, and I kept saying to myself, I go, you know, this guy, I totally can see you as a Shelby, like in Peaky Blinders. I can see you as one of the relatives. I totally can see it. And that was the first thing I said. There was two shorts that I especially like, the one where you were Satan or something. I couldn't even watch it for more than a few minutes. You were quite believable in that, but I was just like, because I don't like scary movies, and I saw that, I'm like, he's gonna do that, and I stopped, and then I watched it for another minute because I was curious, and then I thought, oh my God. And then, but you were quite good in that, so I think people should check it out.
It's,
you know, you have it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a short film I did with a group of students in Estonia. It's called Fallen Avenger.
Yes.
And I play like a fallen angel, I suppose. It was never really explained. There's a scene in the very beginning where what I'm essentially doing is sacrificing my daughter in heaven.
Yes.
And I remember when I was filming this, I was like, oh, this is weird. This is going on film. Yeah. And even when you see me doing, like, because they did several shots of me going,
oh my God, I was just like, ew.
To just jump into the character.
Very good. And and the one with the office group was very cute. And I I'm like, this guy's such a dick. So I really believed it. It was 2 minutes, but I was like,
you know what's great about that? That short was called Paperwork. Basically, we had a script originally, but we sort of did away with the script and did it like wrestling style, where we just went on bullet points, right? And they said, right, we want you to be like this type of guy, right? You're jealous of this guy, but you're the boss, like, be a dick. And I just thought of like every crap boss I've ever had, and I was like, oh, this will be easy, here we go. And I just based it on them. And like the bit where you see me walk in and I basically come over to him and slam the papers in front of him, like, that's happened to me.
It
was ad-libs, totally. And most of that was ad-libs. But
yeah, no, very good. I think you're a very good actor. I was really, you know, impressed, because sometimes people say I'm an actor or whatnot, and I show, because I used to live in LA. I'm like, plenty.
You know? Oh, wow.
And I thought,
well, I always say I'm an aspiring actor. Like, I wouldn't consider myself professional, because I've never really, like, the way I always look at the word professional is if you've kind of done a piece of work and you've been paid for it and it's been produced and blah blah blah, then I would consider it, you could say, professional, you know. What I mean, like, for instance, with music, I've created my own music, it's been made in a studio, I've performed live, I would consider myself a professional musician, not necessarily a good one, but I would consider myself one. But with acting, I always make sure to correct people, because I still feel like, you know, I've never had any professional training, and I think it would be like an insult to actors to call myself a professional actor.
Well, you're a very good aspiring one.
That amendment.
So tell us, they can check it out on the website, because that's where I found it, but it's also on YouTube as well. What's your YouTube channel called?
Yeah, I'll just run through all the plugs here just to kind of like give people a good idea of where to find me. So yeah, like, the website is mainly just a way of kind of bringing everything together in one place. So for example, you'll notice that there's like my podcast, my music, my marketing stuff, like everything in one place. So it's easier to know what I do. Mm-hmm. But as far as like actually knowing what I do on like a daily basis, I would recommend checking out two of my YouTube channels, the first one being just Christian Reeve. The second one is Christian Reeve Live, which is a series of like, it's like vlog stuff and live stream stuff and just, you know, that kind of stuff from Twitch that goes onto YouTube, normally in clip form. And then I'm probably Instagram and Twitter. I'm very active on Instagram at Christian_Reeve. And on Twitter, you can find me with Christian Reeve as well. And that's pretty much it.
Well, I'll put this, you know, I'll put this below on the credits or whatever it is. And then everybody knows that I always do a blog post to go with the podcast. So on the nextbiteoflife.com, there's a synopsis of what we talked about and your pictures, so they can see you. And for those who are just listening, and so they can get in contact with you. And I'll have all the contact information on there too. But you definitely need to check him out, because I think he's very good. You've done a couple of LPs or EPs. What are they called? Like your recordings?
Yeah, there was one I did for my first band that I was in many years ago. Then there was one I did for my first solo work. And these days I post everything just on my YouTube, and one day I will enter the studio again, but I'm kind of just holding off on that for the time being.
Yeah. So do you have any hopes of ever going back to live in Estonia? Have you had your taste of like life outside of the UK, or? Do you think like you will travel again and move to someplace else and expat for a little while?
I definitely will live somewhere else. I can feel it. I think it's that sort of feeling, you know. I wanted to be back in the UK just for a little bit because I'd been away for so long. I don't think I'll return to Estonia. I'd certainly go there back there to visit, but I don't think I would live there again unless I had like some sort of summer house. Maybe I'd do that. But as far as living in another country, I'm quite fond of Canada for some reason. That seems to be... The universe seems to keep sending me signs about Canada, and I'm like, I'm cool with Canada. Yeah. That works for me.
But of course, it's another expensive place.
Like, name me a place that isn't. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Estonia? No, I'm just kidding.
I always look at it like, you know, look at the opportunities and signs in your life and kind of react to them. You know what I mean? Like I never feel like I'm fully in the driver's seat as far as like being able to control everything that happens, but I can certainly like choose when and where and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm enjoying being back in the UK, but I think in probably, what am I now, 27? So like in a year or so, you know, maybe things would be different. Now, I think like certain things can change what you want to do. Like I think if I was to meet someone now, if I was to, you know, fall in love with someone or whatever, then that would probably greatly affect, you know, like let's say like I met someone and she's from Canada, for argument's sake, then I'd be like, okay, let's try Canada for a bit, right? Yeah. But as far as like going on my own is concerned, probably I would only do that if there was like a major job opportunity that I would be offered, and then I would sort of consider following through with that.
Yeah. Well, it's good because, you know, you have time on your side. I think what you said just a few minutes ago about like letting things, you know, the way things happen sort of influences where you go, well, you have an open mind about it. And a lot of people, and that's what I see the difference in, people just, you know, talk about it. Oh yeah, I would love to live into the country. I would, you know, they can't even dream like enough, or they do dream, but they will never ever even consider it for some reason. The fear is so enormous, but you're saying, hey, if it happens, it happens. And what better time to do it than when you're young?
Here's the thing I've learned as well. Like, you know, I suppose it depends on what you believe in, like God, spirituality, whatever. Like personally, I believe in like the universe, right? And what I believe is if you keep saying, you know, basic law of attraction, if you say like, I want this, right? And you keep saying, I want this, life will throw stuff in front of you. It won't give you what you want on a platter, but it will present to you opportunities. It will go, okay, you want this, huh? Well, here's an opportunity. Here's a way for that to happen. And it's up to you if you take advantage of that opportunity or not. And it's up to you, like you said, about being open-minded. You've got to look at like the small things that are put in front of you that lead to the big thing and say, okay, if I do X, Y, and Z, this will get me to this position. And this is the thing, like a lot of people aren't prepared to do all the little things to get to the main thing, because everyone wants, you know, they want an easy life. They want it to be like, oh yeah, you know, I just do this and then everything's great. And it's like, that's not how life works. Nope. Like, life is this.
Yes, exactly. You know, hits and throws.
You've got to embrace the bad times.
Exactly. So I'm glad to hear somebody else say it. I always say that every single time I talk to people, it's like, yeah, it's going to happen, but you have to do your own part. If God or whoever it is shows you something, you gotta know when to say, oh yeah, that sounds good. Don't just keep talking about it. It's not going to be like drawn out for you and presented for you, and it's just, that's just not the way it works. So that's good to know. Now I'll leave you with one final question. What is the cost of living now for you? Like, is it really expensive in Manchester? Like for somebody looking and saying, you know what, he went to Estonia, my dream is to do it in London. What can somebody come in and buy themselves in London, in Manchester right now, be thinking of looking to spend on a monthly basis?
To be fair to London, ever since I grew up in London, I've seen the prices of everything increase. So not just house prices, but like cost of travel, cost of food, cost of everything. Everything is astronomically expensive in the UK. In London.
Yeah.
But it's much, the difference between say Manchester and London or Birmingham and London or whatever is so drastically different. Like it's, what you could, like, let's say if you want to get like a 2-bedroom flat here in Manchester, right, that same amount of money would get you like nothing in London. And I always say that people that want to live in London and actually have a life in London, they need to be earning a lot of money, like probably somewhere in the region of like 30 to 50 per annum. Like obviously there's people earning less than that, but I wager like many of those people, because I know some of those people as well, like they're struggling because it's not easy. Because there's a difference between living in a place, right?
Yes.
And then surviving in a place.
Yes.
And I feel like if you want to do the London life, a lot of the time in the beginning, it will be surviving and you're not really going to enjoy life because all of your money is going on paying for your place. Yeah. And I just, like you'll notice the trend with living in London, or sorry, like working in London, is that many people live outside of London.
And zone six.
not even necessarily like living in London, but like living outside. I've heard of people commuting from places like as far as Nottingham on the train. And this is one of the reasons why in the UK there's been a lot of money that's been put into infrastructure for railway networks to speed that process up. Yeah. Because they're identifying, hey, loads of people are working in London, but they can't afford to live there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quicker.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So to fully address the question, like I think Manchester is one of those places where, you know, I've noticed a lot of infrastructure here as far as new property developments, new businesses being based here. The prices, you know, they are gradually increasing a little bit because the place is getting, you know, more desirable. But the prices, I mean, there's no comparison. It's so much cheaper here. I would wager it's more desirable because there's less people and because there's more kind of like arts. I mean, that's not to say there isn't in London, but like it's so heavily overpopulated there. Like even the last time I went back, I mean, I hadn't been to London in like 5 years by that point, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And it just felt like there was more people.
Like everywhere.
You know, maybe it just felt like I was used to the business of like the tubes and stuff, but it I swear it's increased quite a lot in these last 10 years and it's only increasing more and more. So I think anyone considering moving to the UK, don't just do what everyone else does and jump to London. Look at the rest of the UK and see if there's anything worth, you know, as far as other cities or even like what I mentioned, like living somewhere else and commuting into London. Like I think that's your best option, really.
What would be like a price for, say, 1-bedroom or 2-bedroom in Manchester?
I've seen generally an average of like between somewhere between £400 to £600 for like a, that could get you like a 1-bedroom studio apartment.
So a huge difference between there and London, a huge difference. That's not even a small one.
But again, it varies because it can also get you just like a room in a house share or flat share. But you will generally have more floor space and better facilities. Yeah. I think that's always the key, isn't it? If you're looking for your own place, then how much are you willing to put into that? Like, I think for like a 1-bedroom apartment in London in a decent area, it's going to cost you at least £1,200.
At least.
£1,200, at least.
That's insane.
So it really depends what you're looking for.
Yeah, so if you're looking to move to London, you need to look at the outside places and see how you can make it work. Because, you know, everything doesn't have to be, but people do it to show off to their friends. Hey, I'm living in London. Just like everybody's like, I live in LA. And then you're like, we're in LA. And they're like, and they name some bumfuck place. And you're like, what? That's not even anywhere close to LA. But they're like,
but that's the reality though. If you're earning a small amount of money, that's the reality. We will have to live in an area like that. And it's a decision. Cause it's like, okay, do I choose to live in a shitty area and pay, oh, pardon my language, in a poor area and pay less money, right? Or do I live in a better area but pay essentially like the majority of my wages. And have little for living? I mean, that's the thing. Those people showing off, I mean, it depends how much money they're earning, but I would wager a lot of them don't have money for anything else.
Exactly.
Okay, great, I live in a nice apartment, but I can't afford to do anything else.
Yeah, I can't go out. I can't eat. Exactly.
But hey, look, how beautiful is my TV? You know what I
mean? I'm going to eat part of my TV. Okay, so that was my second to last question. My last question is, Man U or Man City?
It kind of strikes me as though like Man City is a bit more the more traditional team to follow, as far as I understand. And Man United's a bit more, I don't know, because they're both old teams.
Yeah.
But I feel like I see more people supporting Man City up here from what I can see. I feel like Man United is a team that a lot of people around the world.
I was just going to say, Man U, I think, belongs to the world, because my whole family, like 90% of them, I mean, you can't even say anything against, they will fight you to the death if you say something against, you know? So of course I'm always there going,
wow,
Liverpool. You know? So
that's the thing, they're good teams though. They're good teams. I mean, Liverpool's done really well in the past 10 years.
So I just always say that. I do that just to stir up some awful feelings.
It really doesn't bother me. That's the thing. Like when people say like, oh, your team is rubbish. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know they're rubbish.
Exactly. It just takes the fun out of it for them, doesn't it?
here's a way to prove I'm a true QPR fan as well. Yeah. I supported them back in like the early I've supported them since the 90s, right? But I remember a time in like the mid 2000s when we were so poor. We were in Division 2. Right, of the league. That's what it used to be called. Now I suppose it's called League One, but Division Two. And we were so poor and so bankrupt that some of the fans were paying the players' wages. I kid you not. Look it up. Fact.
Wow.
We were so poor.
That's quite the fan then.
And that's why it was funny when we got bought out and we you know, had our millionaires, you know, owning us, right? It made literally no difference. Like we got up to the Premier League eventually for like two or three seasons. And, you know, everyone's seen it. You know, we bought players left, right and center, but we didn't buy players to kind of create a team. We just bought players throw money and just get anyone who would come, like, come, please. And we kind of, we were going back and forth. So we one season we'd be Premier League, next we get relegated, then we come back up. Then back down, then back up. And then eventually we just, I think it was 2013 or 2014 season, we got relegated. And then we've just been in the championship ever since. That's the thing. I don't even keep up with my team because it's boring. Every season we finished about 15th or whatever. And it's like,
it starts to weigh you down. It's...
I glance at them every now and again. I'll glance and I'll say, where are we at? What's happening? Are we any chance of going back up? Nope.
Okay. No. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. See ya.
Check back in another couple of years.
Well, Christian, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been really fun talking to you. And everyone, please make sure you check out his podcast called Christian Reed Podcast, and also check out his website and check out the shorts that I mentioned. I think you'll be really impressed. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for watching the show. Goodbye, and we'll see you on the next one.